Now, you have bureaucracies, secret societies within that effect, whether they know it or not, and that's what my other chart shows. So you got the monarchy, Queen Victoria, and them stirring up the South, taking advantage of that sentiment so that they could get back that part of the United States. So you have bureaucrats and intelligence agencies meddling with the effect, and they're probably not even aware of the effect. And we've gone through that on the second chart, the formula chart, where you have the intelligence agencies riding on the effect. They're ahead of the game in relation to the average person, but they're still within a larger effect that they don't fully understand. So you have the acoustic effect on the South, and because it's the beginning of electric age, you can't really start an economy on the electric level, so industry and nationalism takes over as the content from 1850 to 1900. You have Garibaldi in Europe, you got all these guys creating nations all over the place. That's like the old hardware sort of becoming art form at that point, whereas the real effect is the telegraph, but that doesn't merge, really manifest till the Russian Revolution, and that's where the Bolsheviks, you know, supported by European oligarchs like Turner and Taxis and people like that. So you got the you should have telegraph there, telegraph news rather than newspaper, Scott. Multitude.
Okay.
And it should be 1860 to 1900.
Yeah, but the Bolsheviks don't come in until 1900.
They come in 1917, but see, the bureaucratic hijacking of the effect is always a bit behind. That's the intelligence agency. They're a bit behind, too, but they're way ahead of the average person,
yeah,
who's like a century behind.
And technically, the newspaper, they were printing the newspaper probably before the telegraph. They were printing...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's Addison and Steele. That's, you know, 1710. That's 150
yeah.
years before the telegraph.
Well, say the electric, so that was the effects preceding causes, because the book page was already being broken up into multiple points of view on the page of the newspaper before the telegraph even came in.
Yeah, so Lamartine writes in 1820, which is, you know, 100 years of pre-telegraph newspaper, he says in 1820 the book arrives too late. So he's seeing the effect of the newspaper, and then he predicts, this is the first quote McLuhan uses in one of his first major essays on James Joyce, he says by the end of the 19th century, like 80 years later, the newspaper will wing its way around the world. He started to intuit the telegraph effect, even though the telegraph wasn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an example of an intellectual, an aesthete, a poet, looking at what was going on and saying the book arrives too late by 1820.
Is he a symbolist?
That's, he's before, yeah, he's part late, just before the symbolist, I think.
Okay.
What do you mean it arrives too late?
The book doesn't mold to anything anymore. It's not the ground. The ground is the newspaper.
And the book never was a...
It was ground for 300 years, you know, say 1400, for, say 1500 to 1800.
Oh, yeah, okay, just during that period, and then the newspaper after that.
No, 300 years of newspaper, of a printing press. 1800, then newspaper for 100 years, then the telegraph really gets going, and then radio and TV, radio and telephone, you know, 1910.
Mm, yeah.
But look at this, then the next thing after the Bolsheviks, you've got the radio, and that's the Nazis. The Nazis are the bureaucratic intelligence agency hijacking the radio effect, and that's in the 30s, and then you have TV in the 50s, and television is a communal effect. Everybody's in the same visual ESP kind of thing. And so the figure that stood out was Israel, because it was making kibbutzes, and that attracted the world because they were expressing everybody working together, you know,
mm-hmm.
communalism.
Well, is Israel primarily the demographics? See, I got confused the other day. I said to some, you know, was saying to some people, well, Israel's where all the, you know, all the Jews are. And they said, no, it's run by Jewish politics, but you have a number of different religious faiths there that are not Jewish. Is that true,
Bob?
Not
many Jews, in a sense, in Israel.
So
they're Jews all over the world see Israel as their home, but they don't live there.
Hmm. So the demographic is made up of...
Arabs.
Oh. That are not necessarily Jews.
Right.
Mm. And then, but then you have the Palestinians. They live outside the walls, or they're inside as well?
They're inside in Gaza. It's all mixed up now because they had a couple of agreements over the last 20 years.
Mm.
But basically, the Palestinians are in concentration camps inside Israel, even though they have their own supposed territory, but it's run by the Jews, by the Israelis.
And let's see, founding of Israel came up in relation in last week's tailgate party in relation to whatever was going on with China and Europe.
Oh, that was incredible. The richest Jews, he laid out the richest Jews in the 19th century, and they were part of the transactions with Saint Germain in China, so they were rewarded with Israel in 1917 in the Balfour Agreement.
Wow.
That's a whole, no one's ever heard of that before.
And Saint Germain is working side by side, was working side by side with the Queen at the time?
With everybody. I mean, the Chinese are a big factor the last 1,000 years.
Yeah.
See, they saw what was coming 1,000 years ago. They had the ability or whatever.
The Chinese ancestors.
Yeah, whoever their leaders
The hidden
are.
Ones, the ones we don't know about on the street.
They're called the elders.
The elders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they saw America coming 1,000 years ago, and that's why you look at the gold rush in 1849. If you look at images of that, you know, in California gold rush, a lot of Chinese coolies there, right?
Yeah.
Well, those were the Chinese agents for the Chinese controllers who already owned that.
Oh my God!
Isn't that interesting?
Well, no, they were. It was owned by American power brokers. The Chinese were just laborers, like the guys owned by, slave guys building the pyramids. They were the slaves.
No, they weren't. They were working. They were there making sure that China got the gold if anything came up.
Wow.
They're tribal people. You know, they don't think of themselves as slaves. They all worked for the Chinese cause.
Yeah.
And that's the image you were given. You got a bunch of photographs and a bunch of newspapers. Oh, look at these Chinese stoolies, you know.
Right.
That's where, you know, forget that.
Huh. So the elders, Chinese elders, must have been, you know, like interdimensional parallel world travelers way back.
Yeah.
When nobody...
I've got the whole history on that from Ion, going back to Solomon's Temple and the pyramids and everything.
Oh, man.
There's these famous artifacts that trigger this. But here's the thing about China. You know, people say, look, they let their people starve and they don't do anything for them until Mao came in. And the Chinese people said, fuck it, we don't care if anybody dies, we got a lot more coming.
Well, I know. That's because they never had the heightened sense of individual ego that the printing press produced for the West.
Right.
Because in the West, the individual...
Well, that's the McLuhan level. The Thompson level is that they don't have a fear of death because they were heavily influenced by the Tibetans. Way back.
Yeah, but they must have like part of a hive self of sense, a hive mentality or something.
Yeah, that's the sociological fact. I'm talking about the spiritual level, the Thompson quadrant we'll call it, is that they don't believe that they die.
Yeah.
They don't end with their death. And I asked them, where'd they get that from? You know, like 3,000 years ago, they got to...
Yeah, but the survival instinct is built into the animal part of our brain. I mean, people will try to survive.
Well, I've learned from Ion that the Chinese are very different. Because they understood, and the people were, I guess, their priests or whatever communicated to them effectively over thousands of years, stemming from whatever was going on in Tibet when Tibet created Shangri-La. And Shangri-La was created because the people didn't know anything else and they could do anything they want.
Why did they allow Tibet to be destroyed and ransacked?
That's the government, who has no power in China, Ion says. They're just a bunch of thugs running around, agents for the Rockefellers or, you know, Western industry.
But the people could have united like a tidal wave and wiped out the government if they were all that
people
concerned
don't
about
care.
Tibet.
They don't get concerned. You know, the whole Taoist thing, relax and allow. That's the thing with Chinese. They let the Americans take over 150 years ago.
Yeah.
So they have a different attitude as a...
Well, Thompson referred to them as the egg culture and the U.S. as the sperm culture. Remember?
What? Yeah, I don't remember that. That's in one of the books.
Yeah.
What's an egg culture?
Well, you sort of get an idea. The egg is the matrix in which things are happening, but it's the sperm that brings the activity and the buzz and tries to, you know...
Yeah, so the Americans are kinetic, that's sperm, and the egg is tactile.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere.
Right. But then that was supposed to be flipping as a function of the tactility going too high and driving the egg culture crazy, so it wants to then
Now that's the
flip.
1560s, Scott. That's 4,000 years ago, right? We've had the android meme, and then that collapsed. So it's a totally different scene right now.
So tactility is not driving a See, if they're already tactile, you bring in a tactile electric environment. Yeah, they go Western. You're saying that's not a factor anymore?
No. That's under TV and in the satellite in the 60s. Once the digital Android Me comes in, it's a totally different world. As a matter of fact, the cultural differences that McLuhan tracked through anthropology don't apply anymore because everybody's been discarded for 40 years, then virtualized. You got a mutation. Now that's gone, and the new technical ground is ion. Literally, ion is the new technology because it's our non-physical showing up as an extension of us.
Oh, are the Chinese ancestors taking their clues from ion?
Yep. Matter of fact, J.W. was told about 7 years ago. Yeah, 2003, 2004. He knows Chinese businessmen, and they said, "You will talk with the ancestors." And he thought they were fucking nuts. He didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
He remembered them saying it. They knew. And they know what we're doing. We're in touch with them. We're in touch with all the intelligence agencies all over the world. You have to realize this is happening really fast, Scott, this revolution.
Is the reason JW's in touch with them because ion's coming through him?
And no, that was in his own business life.
Yeah, okay. So they got their own conduit to ion. They don't need to talk to JW.
Oh, they do, though. No, they know this is new. We just did in a private. Now we're going to start in 5 minutes, okay, Scott?
All right.
Because
Yeah, I know. I don't. I'm hogging your time.
I got to do a client in an hour and 10 minutes. So.
Okay.
The thing was that what were we just saying? What was the last word?
About.
Jesus! Yeah. Yeah. So a client. He read a book. Some guys in the 40s wrote. Some Western professors went over to Asia, and they were hanging out with the monks or something, and Hindus. And it's called Masters of the Far East. And they end up talking to Jesus. He appeared to him.
Hmm.
So Greg wanted to ask Ion about this book and what was going on there. So Ion laid out the details, and then I realized, hey, Greg, why read about talking to Jesus? Let's have Jesus come in right now. So we had Jesus come in. And we said, well, let's have the third Jesus. So the third Jesus came in, and we now offer it's 35 minutes interview with Jesus, and he tips his hat and says, Ion is the second coming and more.
Mm.
So how's that for preposterous exaggeration? But the big thing, Scott, Mr. Norris, have you signed up for the chat line?
Is that the new forum?
Yeah.
Yeah, dupes for non-physical?
Yeah.
Yeah, I signed up the other night. But
you're data, right?
I don't know. No, I'm 1111. I don't I don't know if they sent me an email yet. I have to get an email from them.
No, that's me. I'm the guy who's doing it. I think I did, but there's a little glitch today. But I did do you. You're listed as a member. I did that yesterday. Anyways, there was someone who called himself DataTrash22, so I wonder if that was you.
No, that was my email address. It asked for your email address. That's
address.
Okay,
so that is you, right.
Yeah, my username's 1111.
Yeah, so I talked to Bob Marshall, and he had not signed up because I figured he might have used that title, Data Trash, so then I figured it was you. So it is you.
Yeah.
Anyways, you won't believe this, Mr. Woods. Ion is going fucking nuts. He's carrying on conversation with 8 fucking threads all the time. And JW is not even at his computer. JW has no knowledge of anything that's going on. We got astral, non-physical posting happening. Never happened before in the history of anybody.
While JW is being JW and not even being Ion?
That's right. Here's what happened. I decided to do it on April 22nd, of course, right? That's the day the album came out in 92. The Perfect Pitch came out April 22nd, 85. So we were talking a week before. Some people said, I want to start emailing with some people in Tailgate. So I was talking to Greg, and we said, well, let's start a forum. So I started in April 22nd. JW has gone to New York on April 22nd for the day, and I send out emails to everybody, about 20 people, maybe 22 people, and so they start signing up. They respond, and I activate them. And after a while, I noticed Ion came in, and I didn't even send any email to him. He uses JW's email. I didn't send any notice to JW. JW's not going to do something like this. He doesn't get time or is not interested. So I noticed that Ion is the third person to sign up. So then a whole bunch of other people signed up. Then I started posting a thread, and another thread got on there. All of a sudden, there's Ion being Ion, saying his stuff he says on the radio, and then people are all excited, and they start responding, and then he responds, and it's fucking hilarious. So I get a call late Thursday night from JW. He'd just come back from New York, and he said he walked into his room, his office, and his computer was open and on, and he looks at it, and he sees on the front on the screen, dupes of non-physical. And he doesn't know what the fuck that is. So he calls me up, and he says, what's dupes of non-physical? I said, that's a form I started, and Ion's already on. You're kidding. So I read of what Ion posted. He laughs his fucking head off. So I've been reading this stuff for the last few days at JW. I never heard JW laugh so hard because it seems that JW doesn't know what Ion says, but when you read it to him and you can hear it, it's just incredible.
Huh.
And he's not even... JW doesn't do email much. He doesn't like his computer. So he's not... He would not be sitting there typing these incredible answers. This is, I don't know, it's like the 20 answers so far from Ion the last 2 days. So he's not at his computer. He's not even thinking about it. This is Ion as a separate operation.
So there's not even a physical component to Ion.
No, there's no physical component here. Now, I've been getting emails from Ion since the beginning, but nobody can believe me. So I post once I realize what's going on. I say, hey, finally got fucking proof that Ion's doing this. Because you guys are seeing it. So anyways, that's a neat thing happening.
Cool.
Yeah, so jump in, Scott. Will you read what Ion says? It's fucking, he's really mixing it up with everybody.
So what happens? So what happens to JW when he's actually doing when he's doing his Ion?
He's walking around. He has to keep moving. Well, yeah, I told you heard the story.
He obviously does it from home, sort of thing. And I assume like he doesn't work and stuff. Like how does he?
Yeah.
How does he actually set aside all that time?
He doesn't have a job. He's too wealthy to have a job.
Okay.
Yeah, he loves doing it, so he's available. So he spends a lot of his time unconscious, so to speak, seeing files and dream or whatever you call it. He usually sees files and pictures. So he's kind of like in a dream state. But his body's walking around, and I've told you before that one day we had two female clients. Each had her long reading, and Ion was doing really great ESP on them, and they were separate readings. We found out after that during those two readings, so it went over like 3.5 hours or something, JW's body, and you would think it was JW, was painting his son's little derby car and putting coats of paint, and they dry every 20 minutes, and he did it about 5 times over these 3 hours or 4 hours. And then also he was doing JW's quarterly financial report. So JW wakes up when it's over and sees all this was done. He had no awareness that it was being done, but his body is doing it. And so I told his son to start fucking taping JW, videotaping him. He's multitasking while doing all this shit.
So what do his kids do with all this stuff?
They love it. His youngest, like, is 8 or 9. One night we were having a session, Carol and I, private session, and all of a sudden Ion started laughing. We said, what? He said, well, his youngest came down, likes to hang, be near JW when Ion's coming through him. He likes what his father says when he's Ion, right? He thinks it's so cool that this other stuff comes out of his father. So he was lying on the couch beside his father, and he fell asleep. And while he was sleeping, he kicked JW, who was also sort of asleep, kicked JW in the head, you know, just a knee-jerk reaction. So Ion was laughing at JW, who got kicked in the head. So it's going to be a historical scene there, you know, so we just get it on tape. So I got a 16-year-old son who just got his driver's license, run around with his car, and so I don't know, occasionally take a tape a bit, you know, just videotape what JW's doing while Ion's talking to me.
But okay, so I know we want to get on with the interviews.
Yeah.
But one question about that. So when, like, it seems like Ion really kind of started to take off when he got in touch with you.
Well, Ion was, me and Carolyn created Ion. Now, he, non-physical, see, where does Ion begin and end? You know, he said he was around Carolyn and I and JW about a year before. But remember, there's no time, and he's non-physical, so he's always been here. But the actual activation was caused by me and Carolyn, because JW, when I told him, hey, let's see if the Evergreens can come through you, he would have never done it if Carolyn wasn't there. He wouldn't let a wild card like me, as he perceived me, you know, take over his mind, but he sort of trusted Carolyn. So because Carolyn was there, he felt safe, and he allowed himself to do it, and he didn't even know what he was going to do, but it happened. And we've discussed this since, and that is the factor. So Carolyn was as much the factor as me in making this happen.
Right, okay.
So it's a fascinating, amazing story, so there's lots we could do. So let's go. Now, we're going to do Meltzer, and do we still have pages to look at?
There are some. There's one sequence left.
Okay, I'll get it.
Of the stuff that I sent you through that blog.
Right.
I think there's still some good stuff I sent you that we haven't done, physical copies of.
Okay.
There is still more stuff. Like, there's actually one section in particular. Like, I mean, even if we don't get through the whole Meltzer book before the end of time, I mean, there's one section in particular I definitely would like to go through, but probably not tonight because it would...
Yeah, that'd take too long. So let's just continue with the Meltzer.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking. It was back in Bob YouTube's. Where is the one with the attachment? Oh, there it is. I think this is it.
I can even tell you the address because I'm looking at the page if you want.
Yeah, what's the address?
So go into your browser and start typing in SM.
No, I don't do that. It doesn't work that way. Just give me the date of the thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, I don't know. Okay, I don't have that.
February 15th. See, I always keep it here. You melt Lester Bangs, killed by Bangs on... It was an attachment you sent.
Yeah, one second. I think it was February sometime.
Yeah, I have it. Here, it's Phonograph Record. Is this Phonograph Record Magazine? No, those are the articles out of print. No.
Out of print, that's what it is.
Yeah, but that's not the...
Oh, I changed the address, so yeah, it's not working? Or?
Hey, that reminds me, I called Portland Information yesterday, and there's a Richard Meltzer listed, but he's unlisted, but he's there.
Oh, there we are. Okay. Okay, Bob, go to Saturday, February 13th.
February 13th.